Life Audio.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Welcome to Christian Natural Health with naturopathic Dr. Lauren DeVille. Christian Natural Health is the podcast on how to get and stay healthy, God's way. You'll hear topics on nutrition, exercise, sleep, avoiding toxicity, meditating on scripture, what supplements to take, stress management, defeating anxiety and worry, how to reconcile Eastern medicine approaches with Christianity, and a whole lot more. Now, here's your host, Dr. Lauren.
Today I'm going to be meditating on the concept of how to handle disappointments from a biblical standpoint. So we all, of course, have disappointments in life, things that our hearts were set on that just didn't pan out. God does promise to give us the desires of our hearts if we're following him, Psalm 37:4, but he doesn't promise to give them to us on our timetable or through the avenues that we choose. His way is always best in the end, but that doesn't make the immediate disappointments hurt any less. Then there are those times when bad things happen to us that God had no part of. These are things that God specifically lists as a curse in the Old Testament. Things like disease, death, destruction, destitution, and the like in Deuteronomy 28:15-38. They are listed as part of the curse of the law, but Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law, so God doesn't do those things. When these things happen now, it is because there is an enemy who prowls about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5:8-9. Or because the world itself is fallen and waiting for the redemption, Romans 8:20-22, or because of the free will of sinful people in Psalm 37, either our own or that of others who hurt us. There are usually only a few ways that most people handle disappointments and sorrow. Number one, they lie to themselves and pretend they never wanted that thing very much in the first place. Number two, they run away, keeping themselves otherwise occupied so that they never feel the loss, and this includes addictions of all kinds. And number three, they get really mad either at God or fate or whatever they blame. Or four, they grieve. This last one is the only true path to healing. So the lying to yourself or denial approach is the sour grapes approach. Well, fine, I never really wanted it that much anyway. It seems to work on the surface for a while. The problem with this is that it's a lie. Pretending you feel one way when you feel another is entirely suppression. And the thing suppressed doesn't go away. It gets buried deeper. It's like getting a splinter in your foot, and instead of having it removed, you shove it down inside the flesh so you can't see it anymore, and you just learn to walk with a limp. This is often where emotional handicaps like depression come from. We are injured and isolated, and we don't see that there's anything we can do except learn to live with it, the stiff upper lip approach. We move beyond blaming our needs to a denial of our needs. There's something we're not admitting to ourselves, and the depression is a symptom of it. It's trying to remind us that we need to enter the healing process. The solution, of course, is to submit to having your foot cut open so that the splinter can be extracted and the cut can heal. Jesus says in Mark 8, if you try to preserve the things you want in life by pretending everything's okay when it isn't, then you will lose them. But if you willingly lay them down for the sake of the kingdom, then they'll be given to you. As long as the splinter is still in there, coping and getting by is the best you can ever do, but that isn't God's best for you. In The Law of Happiness, Dr. Henry Cloud writes, grief allows you to let go of what you cannot have in order to make room in your heart for what you can have. Those who don't feel safe enough to grieve find themselves holding on to lost hopes and relationships. Then it's difficult for them to seek out new attachments since the ghosts of the past still occupy their emotional life. Jesus promises that when we let go, the exchange he offers is beauty for ashes, Isaiah 61:3. And then there's running away and addictions. An addiction is anything that we run to in order to escape from unpleasant thoughts or emotions. That's usually how all the physiological addictions start as well. The obvious ones are substances, food, sex, gambling, shopping, and work, or busyness in general. We can also be addicted to a person. That's called codependence. We can compulsively fill our lives with noise so that silence never has the opportunity to ask its uncomfortable questions. We can park ourselves in front of the TV every night after work to escape from all the problems we don't know how to solve. Distraction techniques are very popular. These approaches all have one thing in common. They help us to avoid our pain, but they don't heal it. Because of that, they all enslave us sooner or later. But when Jesus first announced his ministry, he said it like this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor," Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. He came to heal, not just to offer a Band-Aid. He came to set the captives free. Once a hurt has been grieved and released, there's no longer any need to run from it, and the necessity for addictive distractions goes away. Then there's anger at God. I tried this one. My dad died when I was 15. I didn't stop believing in God. I'd studied too much apologetics to do that, so I knew he was there. But instead, I decided that he was like an army general who made sacrifices for the greater good. And sometimes, guess what? It's your turn to get sacrificed. Because this was my basic philosophy, I therefore assumed that if I wanted any happiness, anything good to happen in my life, I had to take matters into my own hands. I became a control freak. The only problem was I wasn't in control of anything that truly mattered to me. The moment I got set free was the moment I admitted this to myself and to God, and that was when he showed me who he really is. He doesn't do bad things to us. Death and disease are a result of one of those three things that I mentioned before: Satan, a fallen world, free will, or some combination of them. But because he's amazing, he can take all things, even the bad, and work them together for his purposes, Proverbs 16. Once I turned to him instead of away from him, he was there to comfort me, Psalm 34. One of my favorite verses to cling to even now is Deuteronomy 33, verse 12. "Let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him, for he shields them all day long, and the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders." I found out that the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows them that trust in him. Nahum 1, verse 7. I found out that if I seek him, that if I seek him, he will grant me the desires of my heart. Psalm 37, verse 4. But I probably can't grant them to myself, no matter how hard I try. Giving up and letting go was freedom. And then there's grief. Grief happens when we admit that what happened to us hurt and we allow ourselves to feel sad about it. God set up grief as a method for allowing us to accept those things we can't do anything about. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount that grief is what allows you to be comforted, Matthew 5. If you're too busy denying and suppressing your pain, though, comfort can't get in. I see this one all the time. Patients come to me with physical problems that started around the same time that someone they loved passed away, or they went through a divorce, lost a job, or had some other major life event happen to them. They subsequently developed insomnia, depression, digestive disorders, crippling fatigue, or a full-blown autoimmune disease. Then I ask what they did to grieve the loss, and they just tell me that they did their best to keep going because they can't change the situation, so I just have to live with it, don't I? It's really no secret that the body weeps tears the eyes cannot shed. Grief is an important season, and without it, we will never quite function as we did before. But again, quoting Henry Cloud and John Townsend in How People Grow, the quote is, "We basically need two things for grieving. First, we need love, support, and comfort. Second, we need structure. We need time and space for grieving. We need structured activities. This is why good support groups that meet at a regular time and do regular tasks are effective in getting people through grief. Grief isn't something we can do alone. We need the love and support of others to allow us to intentionally face pain. Although no other human can ever fully understand how you feel, Proverbs 14, verse 10, God called us to mourn with those who mourn, Romans 12, 15. Grief involves letting ourselves fall apart, and in order to do that in safety, we need God and others to hold us up. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall." 1 Peter 5, verse 7, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Psalm 62, verse 8, "Trust in the Lord, in God at all times, and pour out your heart to him because he is your refuge." When we let ourselves feel sad for our losses in the context of relationship with God and others, true healing becomes possible. God says that sorrow lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning, and mourning will turn into dancing, Psalm 30. Isaiah 61, verse 3 says that he will comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And Jesus said in John 16, 33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. John 16:33. Thanks for joining me. Hope that was helpful to you, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Christian Natural Health. This show is run by you, so please write in with topic and guest suggestions for future shows. For more great content, subscribe to Dr. Lauren's blog at www.drlaurendeville.com or follow her on Facebook or Twitter at Dr. Lauren Deville. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to share it with your friends and give us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It really helps us to stand out so other people can discover great content as well. Have a great week and God bless you.
Feeling stressed? Let's take better care of you. I'm Bonnie Gray, the host of Breathe, the Stress Less podcast. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.